Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today we have a special show. We call it All Ears. It's when Hometown Alaska is really asking for listeners to call and tell us about the show. And I have a guest in the studio with me, but he's really my co-host. So welcome, Charles.
Thank you for having me, Kathleen.
I'm so pleased to have you
and
here, Charles.
And welcome, Kathleen.
Yes.
So, we did this 6 months ago. It was an experiment to see if people wanted to give input into what the topics are on the show.
Because we never do this. We always do it all behind the scenes.
I know. Sometimes you're thinking, oh, what should I do this time? But we got all kinds of great ideas. And so I'm hoping that we can do that again and folks will kind of call in and give us some more suggestions.
Right. And for me, it's the community and community radio that I love so much. It's really your chance to influence and give us ideas, and we will pick up on them. And we did pick up on them last 6 months. Charles and I were just sitting here looking at our list and identifying which ones that we were actually able to turn into shows, and there were a number of them. I'm going to say we talked a lot about food waste. There was a lot of concern. There had just been a big NPR story about it, and we did a local version of that. That was really fun. And Charles, I know you did some too.
I did, indeed. I did a show on So the real characters of Anchorage history. Someone had called in and said, like, who was Russian Jack? And I thought, oh, I don't know. So we did a show on that. It was really fun. These tend to be the topics that people are actually interested in, as opposed to the porridge that we try to feed them the rest of the time.
They eat your peas that we're going to make sure that you get.
So give them the phone number.
So we really, really hope to hear from you today. And you were fabulous the last time. And so please consider giving us a call today and giving us feedback and giving us show ideas. 550-8433 in Anchorage or statewide. It's 1-888-353-5752, and we welcome your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So,
what are some other topics that you got out of the last time?
Let's see. One that I'm still working on was adverse childhood. I forget events. I think it's called ACE. And we actually had a couple people call up and ask for that. More than one, and said, I'm willing to come on the air and tell you my story, you know. And so I've been hunting around, and I think I've found a really good guest to have on for that. So it's not yet in front of you on our website, but we're working on it. So that's another one. Let's see. I know that I came away from that show really saying my desire to have community voices on from all of the facets of the community in Anchorage is really strengthened. And of course, I think we had several folks from, we talked about food and food as a way to get into culture. And we had a couple of people calling saying, we have great food. And we'd be able to come on and talk, you know, so I'm still working on that, sort of working through the cultures that are so common in Anchorage and inviting those folks on to talk about what's important to them.
Well, sometimes people don't want to, they sort of apologetic when they contact you and say, well, I'm being self-promoting and it's my own thing. But actually, that's how we find out about stuff.
Right.
And so we need to get those emails, whether it's today, hopefully we'll get a lot today, or anytime. We're easy to find. You go to alaskapublic.org and you can find our email addresses and just shoot us an idea. And even if it's about you, maybe you're really interesting, or maybe it's something that we develop into a bigger topic.
Right.
Because it's, when you sit around and kind of try to come up with stuff, it doesn't always we've come up with so many ideas that you sort of think, oh, we've done that, and it's not as fresh.
You don't feel as fresh. Well, guess what, Charles? We actually have a caller.
I'm so let's
thrilled.
Go for it.
I'd like to welcome Russell. Hi, Russell. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Hi there.
Hi.
So my idea was something about all the different neighborhoods in Anchorage, because I know that they started out at different times. I know Spinard was its own little town or city at one point. From my understanding, Mountain View was founded in the mid-20th century around military families. So I think that would be an interesting topic.
I actually love this idea very much, and I want to say something that I had a show that was really, I was kind of flying on the coattails of some efforts that were already happening in Anchorage, but it was project called We Came to Stay, and it was interviews with longtime Anchorage residents. And I ended up hosting several folks who'd come to Anchorage in the 50s, African-Americans who'd come here, and they were in construction, they were in all kinds of businesses, and they knew things about Anchorage neighborhoods that I heard later people said, I didn't know about. I've lived here for 30 years and I haven't heard that. It was, you know, their community had grown up around the flats. They talked about certain nightclubs along 15th mm-hmm. that were very lively night spots, and then they talked about Green Acres, which was a community that is sort of, if you go out to the UMed district, it had to do with a woman who bought land and would only sell it to African-Americans. She was African-American. She had the means to get that land. And so that became a community that met, in fact, one of my guests grew up in that community. And she said it was wonderful, you know. So I totally applaud that. And I think I've heard sometimes people say, well, these parks all have names. Who are those people, you know, that these parks are named after?
Yeah. And we did that show about sort of the names in Anchorage history, but it's another topic to do something about our neighborhoods and how they developed. And I learned a bit about that when I was writing my history of Anchorage last year, where that sort of there's the core downtown, which was just the what we think of as the main sort of downtown area north of the park strip. Then there was the Spinard Public Utility District. They didn't want to be part of Anchorage. And there was the Mountain View Public Utility District. They didn't want to be part of Anchorage. And then there was all this area that was, you know, sort of didn't have a government until 1966, I believe, or 64, when they formed the Anchorage Borough. And then finally in the mid-70s, it all got put together into one. But even then, the neighborhood sort of developed in all these weird little ways so that we have this patchwork fabric. And after I wrote the book, I was talking to some folks about that, and somebody said, well, did you know that, you know, a lot of these neighborhoods have covenants regarding, like, racial minorities, you know, black, you know, saying they can't live there.
Redlining?
Yeah, redlining the different areas. And I was really surprised. And that's a whole nother part of how, like, related to what you're saying, Kathleen, how they developed.
Right, right. Because they weren't welcome. I mean, that was the point that my guests were making on that show. We weren't welcome in every neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We couldn't buy. And they made it possible. But many people had not heard of Green Acres. I don't know.
Yeah, that
it
was
had
a new
the,
one to me, too.
Yeah. So
does that sound sort of like what you're interested in?
Yeah, definitely. What got me interested in this was when I learned that the park strip was originally a fire break for the downtown settlement when Anchorage was new. And I learned that we have the park strip to thank for our grid system, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. It was also an airfield, too, at one point.
And a golf course. And then it became a park. Yeah, and I learned a lot about this from Vic Fisher, who I worked with and who moved here in 1950. And one of the mind-blowing things he told me was that when he got here, there was no housing. The place was growing really fast. And he got a little cabin out on the edge of town where he would look south and he wouldn't see a single light. It was just all forest. And I have a picture of what it looked like out his window. And that cabin was on 15th Avenue.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and anything in Anchorage you think of as south of 15th was not there in 1950.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Except, I guess, some stuff out in Spinard, but yeah.
Russell, where do you live? What neighborhood are you in?
I live in Airport Heights.
Oh,
that's
a
great neighborhood. Yeah, it's a former military housing, I believe. Right?
I don't know.
I think Nunaka Valley and Airport Heights were both. Do you know, Russell? I'm going off sort of some file card in my brain here. So, have you heard that story?
I have not, but that's, you know, another reason why I'm interested in the
we got to find that out. That's why the houses all look so similar. We'll run that one down. That would be fun to figure out. So, but I really appreciate the call, Russell. It's a great one, and it's very hometownish, which is, you know, there's so much here to talk about.
Yeah, Kathleen and I will be wrestling over this one afterwards.
Yes. I spoke to him first. No. I welcomed him on the air. Okay. So that's great. I love it. You know, it made me think of the pop-up museum I went to over in Fairview, and it was super fun. People brought out of their houses just into a parking lot. I forget which organization was trying to make this happen, but there was one little booth that showed that there was a ski slope in Anchorage, and they were saying, we want to bring it back. And it went down sort of towards Ship Creek, right?
It was actually a ski jump, like an Olympic ski jump, where they're like flying off, and it was down going into Ship Creek.
Yeah.
I know, amazing.
And they had pictures of it, and their booth had all these old wooden skis that they'd brought out.
There was a skating pond down there?
Yes. Yeah. And then there was another really beautiful sign that came out of somebody's house that was hand-lettered that said, Welcome to Fairview. Mm. And it was just gorgeous. And these things, you know, can get lost. So it's just great to have, you know, maybe with our discussion, we can sort of surface some of this.
For sure. Yeah. So, yeah. And the next one that I did from our ideas was climate change and cook inlet. There was a listener who had called in and said, like, what's happening? This is our body of water. And we see all these changes happening on land. What's happening in the ocean? And it's one of those things where you realize, wow, I don't know. That's a big knowledge gap. And I found it a really interesting show. And I know you've recently done a climate change / weather show. And it's something we need to do frequently because it's affecting us all the time.
Right. And it's changing. Mm-hmm. And we're living right through the middle of it. Sometimes when you're right in the middle of it, it's hard to step away and realize. So, yeah, I think that's great. And we have another caller, Charles.
All right, let's go.
I'd like to welcome Laura to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I have a quick idea. I am out in Palmer, and I run a little program we call the Palmer Food Swap. It's basically people that make something at home, like you make really great bread. You come to Palmer Food Swap once a month. You trade your bread for items that other people make, like jam, jelly, anything along that line, and it's really fun. And I would love to either find out if Anchorage has a food swap, or, you know, come on and share the love for food swapping.
That's great. So what's happened to you? Do you bring bread and do you go home with fish? What happens?
Oh, man. Well, we don't actually do any fish because we don't want to cross, like, the subsistence commercial barrier. We haven't gone down that route yet. And I know there's some pretty strict guidelines. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, we're not going to do fish for now. Mm-hmm. But I have taken, like, homemade bread bowls and come out with, like, cookies, bread, frozen kale. I mean, the list is endless, and we do it once a month. So there's, you know, like, you build up the week before, and then you enjoy all your goodies for a week or two, and then you're kind of like, oh, what am I going to do next? And then, boom, it's time to food swap.
So how do people know it's happening? Do you have a website, or do you...
Well,
how do you communicate?
I actually write a local food blog called Hey, What's for Dinner, Mom? And it's just about getting dinner on the table really quick and painlessly and hopefully, you know, within a decent budget. And so I promote it there. I promote it via Facebook on Palmer Food Swap. And I just, it's word of mouth. And that's however great. We can get it out there, we get it out there.
That's really cool. I love finding out about stuff like that and spreading the word. And I wonder if there's other folks who are doing similar things so we could group them together into one show.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, the farmers markets are kind of in that in that category, but this is taking it another step further because you're not actually trying to sell anything.
Right.
You're just trying to share.
And how do you know? I mean, how do you know it's equal value? You don't worry about that. You just say, hey, that's what I want. You can have my very expensive canned pickles if you want. I mean, how do you work that out?
And I think it comes down to, you know, you just have to decide. Like, sometimes there's a really great product and you know somebody's put a lot of work into it. So maybe you go, I'll give you two of my items for one of them.
So
and,
it is a
barter. You know, you get a reputation. If you bring a junky item, people will not swap with you twice.
Mm.
So
Alaska's
really,
a small state.
You know, you want to bring, it doesn't have to be fancy, but it should be the best that you can pull off.
How many people are participating?
Last time we had 10 to 12. I think this time we're going to have maybe 15. It's actually happening this Saturday.
Okay.
And you don't have to be from Palmer to join. It's a lot of fun. It really is. And it takes like 1 hour.
Huh. Cool. Could people bring like a frozen casserole? Like they made two of something. Is that something
you
people
could?
But nobody does.
No. Well, just nobody's done it yet. You could
brand
bring
new,
like,
yeah.
You know, like canned soup. Like if you make a bunch of soup, you could pressure can it and boom.
Yeah.
That would be something you could swap. There's so many things.
Wow, that's
awesome,
that's
Laura.
Great. And
send us an email.
Yeah,
we can.
Hometowninalaskapublic.org. And say the name of your group again, or at least your blog where people might go to read about it.
Oh,
Hey, What's for Dinner,
Mom? What's for Dinner, Mom?
Yeah. That's a really fun idea.
I have three boys, so that was sort of like the battle cry for years. Like, yeah. Hey, what's for dinner, Mom?
I get that myself even now. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Kathleen, a little tab at the top. It says Palmer Food Swap.
All right.
Palmer Food Swap. That's a great idea. I wonder if there's other forms of bartering that are going on out there, whether it's services or babysitting. Yeah. Certainly, I've heard of babysitting co-ops in the past when I had little kids. But
well, it's a whole cultural thing that even goes beyond just the exchange, I think, is that the sharing thing that's happening. One of my favorite shows was about the Anchorage Folk Fest, and I realized, wow, this has been going on for decades in Anchorage.
Babies have grown up through the Anchorage
have grown
Folk
up through
Festival,
it, and they never charge. They don't charge admission.
Yeah, it's
you know,
not
it's
about
just,
the money.
It's just a sharing thing where people are sharing their music. And that's really neat. And it's also something that is not crying out for coverage. It's just there. People are doing it. They're not doing it for recognition or anything else, but just for the love. And and I feel like there's more and more of that going on.
Well, that's it's a form of community making, I think. You know, it's a way to plug in. I'm just going to remind folks, this is our All Ears show, Hometown Alaska. Every couple of months, maybe this is only our second time, but we just like to listen to our listeners and hear what's on your mind, what shows you would like us to work on, and we're completely open to it. So give us a call at 550-8433, 1-888-353-5752 if you're outside of Anchorage, or the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and Charles Walforth is here with me in the studio, and we're the rotating hosts, and today you have us both because we're all ears.
Yeah, and if you ever can't get the number quickly enough, you can just go to alaskapublic.org and click on contact, and the number's there for all of our shows. Because it is, as a listener, I've sometimes heard, oh my gosh, that number went by so fast.
Right.
And you wait for it the next time.
And I hear that people say, well, say the number, say the number. They're sitting at home listening or in their car listening. And so, you know, we try to say it frequently, but if you're ever stuck, it is on the website.
Or just click on today's show and the numbers are right there.
Yeah. Right. And also sometimes we have some links if you want to dig into what we've been talking about, or there's content that we're talking about.
Yeah, there's usually quite a bit there.
Not today. If you're the content today, to our listeners, but sometimes we're talking about stuff instead of trying to give you those websites over the air. We just say, hey, we've got them all on alaskapublic.org. Go to Hometown and you'll find them. So that's another.
So one of the liveliest shows I did in the last 6 months was, I think, based on a suggestion, because the refugee crisis became such a hot topic, and just looking for a way to cover it, I went into sort of looking commentators online to say who was on each side of it. And got Peter Goldberg, who's the head of the Alaska Republican Party, who was concerned about Muslims coming into the United States, and then got an attorney who was, helping immigrants come to the United States. They both turned out to be colonels, so it was a really lively debate. Lots of callers, lots of concern, fairly high emotions. I like doing those shows too, where people are really already tuned into the issue and want to talk about it. And you can get a couple of voices in there to present points of view, and then lots of callers get involved.
What kind of thing were people asking you? The callers is what I'm thinking. Where were they going with that?
I think it was more of a discussion about community values, because there's this sense of, like, what is Anchorage? We've got this very high level of diversity, all these different kinds of people here. We sort of say we like that, or at least a lot of us do, and sort of our political leaders say, oh, we're proud of our diversity. So when we come to a crisis where people need to have a place to go, do we still feel that way? Are we still welcoming? Or is the fear of terrorism and the concern about national security more overriding and sort of holding people back? And that was sort of the core of the conversation, which really comes down to personal values about, wow, how much are you willing to risk for that, right? If there's a risk in bringing people into the United States, at what level are you, how far are you willing to go with that? Which starts a really interesting conversation that is individual, it's community, and it's national.
Right, that's very interesting. And actually, we've got another caller, so I'm going to welcome her right on. Sheila, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi. I just wanted to suggest a show on... It's kind of related to childhood obesity, and I'm a retired teacher in the school district, and I noticed how children, I taught kindergarten for 7 years, and I just noticed how particularly the little kids, in fact, I think all of them are rushed through their meals, and I personally have struggled with obesity, and I've lost a lot of weight, and one of the big things is having time to eat. And so I think that might make an interesting program, just talking about what's being served. I read in the paper here a few weeks ago that a new director for the school lunch program has been hired. But I just think that part of the problem with the childhood obesity is kids having time to eat. Mm-hmm. I saw my daughter in Hawaii here this last week, and her son goes to school in Vancouver, B.C., and she was talking about the same thing, saying he comes home and he hasn't eaten his lunch, and it's because he hasn't had time. You know, they're excited. They want to go to recess. Plus, they're trying to get all the kids through that lunch block in that limited space that they have in the cafeteria and the gymnasium, and so they're just rushing kids. And I saw this when I was teaching kindergarten during a remodel. We had the kids eating in the classroom, and you could see a big difference.
Right. I can imagine. I mean, it's those lunchrooms are pretty exciting places. They're noisy.
And noisy. And the food is really bad.
I'm sorry to say this, but you're absolutely right. And most of it goes in the garbage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see that. I've seen that with my own children. And when they come home and say, what do you have today? And they would say, and how much of it did you throw away? And so pretty soon you take the position, I think a lot of parents do, you pack lunch every day, but there are families that can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so it ends up being another class differential between those who have the means and the time to pack lunches and those who just can't do it.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So, yeah.
I heard
yeah,
of a...
And
a,
I also... Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead, Sheila.
I was also thinking, I feel like I'm too old to do it, but it's a wonderful business opportunity for somebody to think about packing simple lunches for kids and selling them at a reasonable price to families and delivering them to the schools. But
yeah.
I know that that would probably overlap with the school lunch program, but, you know, I've been thinking about this for years because that's a big problem. There's a lot of food waste going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's the obesity factor, and you're right about the kids, especially the little folks. They're so excited to get out to recess and play with their friends that they're talking a lot, and they need to. But but we also need to give them a little more time just to eat their food.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of ideas around that. You know, if we extended the school day, we'd have more time for recess, which has been cut down. It used to be there would be two or three recesses in a day. Now many kids only get one short recess, a short lunch period. So they're sitting still all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need a longer school day if we have that much content.
Yeah. Well, Sheila, thank you. I was just going to throw one thing in that I heard. I heard another school lunch kind of story. And it's a nonprofit that got started because kids who were bringing their lunch were sharing their lunch so much with other kids who didn't have lunch that they ended up creating this Dare to Care program that is an anonymous way to add dollars onto school lunches for kids who don't have it. And so I'm always moved by, you know, people who and it was a mother whose daughter came home and she was always hungry. And she said, but I sent you lunch. She said, well, I shared it with my friends, you know, and so they didn't have anything. So sprang up this this nonprofit.
Nice.
You know, it's just amazing. So Sheila, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and welcome Harry onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Harry.
Hi there. So what I'd like for you to run a show on is a follow-up on Alaska's Red Stripe Law. You know, alcohol abuse is one of the real scourges of Alaska, and this is a tool that we could use to keep alcohol out of the hands of repeat offenders.
What's the Red Stripe Law?
Why don't you describe it?
Yeah. What is that?
Pardon me?
What is the Red Stripe Law?
Well, the red stripe is it's a red stripe on your Alaska driver's license or state ID if you don't have a driver's license anymore, and it's required to show when you're buying liquor or wine or beer, and it's a voluntary thing for the businesses. You know, they. But there's a $1,000 incentive if they catch anybody trying to buy alcohol that doesn't, I mean, that has a red stripe on their license. And it's, like I said, a tool to keep alcohol out of the hands of the repeat offenders.
So do you know where this is happening? Is it happening in other states and that's where you heard about it?
Oh no! This is the only state in the union that does it, and I got the law passed after my wife was hit on Christmas Eve of 2004, was nearly killed, and she was hit by a person that was a repeat alcohol offender, and I wanted to work on keeping it from happening. Preventing it from happening rather than just punishment after the fact, because obviously punishment is not working for many of these people. Many people have multiple DUIs or domestic violence offenses that were committed under the influence of alcohol.
So we actually have this, Harry, right? We have it in Anchorage? In
Alaska? Absolutely.
And are you just frustrated that it's not being abided by?
Well, like I said, there's no real penalty on the businesses if they don't check. But like I said, we made it so that there was an incentive, $1,000 fine if they if somebody tried to buy alcohol had the red stripe.
Interesting. It's an interesting idea. It makes me think of all the other ways that we are trying to deal with. I'm thinking about teen buyers going in and buying.
Well, nowadays you have to give your age and your ID every time you buy alcohol, which I think is great. Back when I was involved in the assembly, people thought that was a crazy idea.
And they knew the guy.
I was just going to say there's a lot of different things that could be. Packaged with that in terms of a show, in that ways of dealing with crime that don't just involve locking somebody in a cell. We found, I think, that we can't keep locking people in cells. We don't have enough cells. We don't have enough money to do that. So how do we stop crime before it happens, or change people who are criminals into non-criminals? And I mean, to me, this is a totally common sense idea. I personally would say, well, why should the licensed establishment not be punished if they sell to somebody who has a stripe? I would think that would be the next step, is to say, that's
well,
part of your responsibility.
The liquor lobby was way too strong.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to get that through. The only way that I could get the red stripe law through the process was to make sure that none of the liquor establishments would be punished for doing the right thing, doing the wrong thing, and incentivized for doing the right thing.
Well, that's a really interesting idea, and it's very relevant to what goes on every day in Alaska. And in Anchorage. So
and alcohol is such a huge issue. We really need to
spend
pay
a lot
attention.
Of money on the problems around alcohol. Mm-hmm. So,
well, thanks, Harry. I don't think we said your last name. Harry Crawford used to be in the State House. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Harry. Very much appreciate it. I'm going to welcome Jesse to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Jesse.
Hi. How's it going?
Very good. What's up with you?
So my suggestion is, my wife and I have been relatively involved in the startup scene and starting a few different companies in town, and there's a good number of companies in Alaska and the Anchorage area that are doing Kickstarters and, crowdfunding. I think it would be a great idea to have a show where people could kind of call in and talk a little bit about their idea and kind of help boost that local economic, local business.
That's great. Maybe have an experienced guest who's been down the road and knows the pitfalls and minefields and can give you things to think about if you're thinking about doing this. That's I think as we talk about diversifying the economy, it's going to be everybody's job, right?
There's so many things like that going on, and it seems like we could really do something fun where the listeners would. I mean, if they like it, they could just go on Kickstarter and donate. And if it was a dumb idea, people would be amused by that, too.
It's sort of like you can trot your idea out and get some preliminary reaction before you've actually gone too deep. That's a great idea, Jesse. Thank you very much. I'm going to take one more caller, and then we're going to take our half-hour break. I'd like to welcome Dorothy to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. I want to suggest that you have a program about the community service organizations around Anchorage and the state who do provide so many services to our citizens that I don't think either they get recognition for, but that people don't know how to access. I am in particular involved with Lions, who do food banks and eye care and eye screenings and we maintain parks in town. We do all sorts of stuff, festivals.
Right.
Like the fireworks out in Eagle River are done by a Lions group.
I have to say, I have to say, Dorothy, that this was an idea that came up the last time there were. It was framed slightly differently. It was a little bit about churches that do a lot to make the community work and don't necessarily want any attention, don't seek attention, but yet they make the world go round in a lot of ways. And this reminds me just a little bit of that idea too.
I think part of it could be.
We have volunteers across the state who perform endless hours, and nationally, our international organization has given more money back into Alaska. Like after the 64 earthquake, the Lions went in and rebuilt what's now called Port Lions because the Lions rebuilt it and they renamed it after the Lions.
Wow, that's
and
great.
After the floods last summer, within 5 days, we had money in state to give relief to the fire victims out in the valley.
Yeah,
that's great.
It happens every time we have an emergency.
That makes me feel good to know, and it is something we should shine some light on. So,
and Dorothy, could you send us an email so we could get some of the contact info and we could follow up on that?
Some of your connections. Thank you, Dorothy.
Sure enough. Thank you.
I have to say I haven't been paying attention to Hometown Alaska, our email, and it's loaded up. So when we come back from our break, we're going to take on some of those questions. So thanks for all the participation. It's just been great. I really appreciate it.
And we want to hear more of your ideas about what we can do on the show.
Yeah. And there's more coming in our email. So you're listening to Hometown Alaska. This is Kathleen McCoy.
And Charles Wolforth.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm here. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, but my co-host Charles is here.
I am also here.
Yes, so it's a dual-hosted show. It's our all-ears show, and I am just blown away by the calls we've had. I really appreciate them all over the board, from entrepreneurism to community service to neighborhoods. It's just been really fun. It's exactly what we're looking for. So
yeah, I love the ideas that come in that are kind of along the lines of a lot of the stuff we do. So it shows me a little bit that we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, we don't get too many suggestions about sort of the hard news topics, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly about like what's going on in this town and what are the important things that make us a community. And and so we really want to hear from others. And Kathleen, you should give them the phone number.
Yes, I'm going to toss out the phone number. And I'm also then going to go to some of our emails because they have definitely been building up. So in Anchorage, it's 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. And you can certainly email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I'm going to get to those emails right now. Let me think. One of the first that came in right after we started the show was energy literacy. I think it'd be neat to explore the topic of energy literacy and how it relates to energy security in the longer term. Although the dependence of the state treasury on one commodity, oil, is becoming obvious, I'm always amazed how little most of us know about where our energy comes from and how to use it. So a clean energy economy, these are some of the ideas, Mark. This is coming from Mark Massler, and I think that'd be interesting, actually.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to focus it down on Anchorage as well,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of what we hear is big. National mm-hmm. or is sort of big, sort of vague.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some big issues here in Anchorage. One thing that I think would be interesting to cover on that is, like, what kinds of alternative energy are actually practical in Anchorage and which ones are not,
mm-hmm.
because not everything works everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is, I think Mayor Berkowitz has been working on dealing with the fact we have two electric utilities in our city. There's no reason for that other than history.
Chukotka Electric and MLNP.
MLNP serves sort of the old downtown area, and Chukotka serves the rest. And in a way, they've competed over the years, which doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. So there's a lot of issues around that about mm-hmm. what's particular in Anchorage is how mm-hmm. we get our energy and how we could make it more efficient.
I'm interested in what's going on Fire Island and the wind farm. Is how's that feeding in? How's it working? What are we learning? Some of those big wind turbines have been controversial, but I haven't heard much about anything out on Fire Island. But and of course, just the other day, a fellow was talking to me. He said, tidal energy. We're not doing enough with tidal energy here either. So anyway, there's there's solar energy, there's tidal energy, maybe there's geothermal energy in certain parts of Alaska.
Yeah.
In fact, I think in the Nome Nugget, I was reading that they have been working around this. I'm not sure if they succeeded yet, but trying to tap the energy from a geothermal spring that they've got out there. So yeah, that's a really interesting idea. I like that. Shall I do one more?
Sure.
And I know we're getting some calls coming in, but let me
do another email.
We have a small group of us are starting a sustainable draft kombucha. Am I saying that right?
I don't know. I don't
brewery
even know what it is.
Here in Anchorage. Kombucha, I know, is something you drink that has all kind of good biotics.
Oh.
Makes your, you know, everything is coming down to what's in your gut and how healthy is that and how do you influence it and make it better.
So now you can drink beer for digestive, like.
It makes your gut microbial community happy when you drink beer.
Can you get a prescription for this beer?
I think you can buy kombucha at the grocery store, but I also was at a friend's house for Christmas, and she made her own. She had a big glass.
So it's not alcoholic.
I don't think so, but, you know.
My interest just waned.
You have a one-track mind. I actually, it would help you run down the Coastal Trail faster than you run now, Charles.
Okay,
so it would give you those kind of benefits. So if anybody wants to tell us what kombucha is in better version than we've been able to deliver, you can certainly do that. But it's called Sustainable Draft Kombucha Brewery. Okay, that's really interesting.
Well, forward that email to me, Kathleen.
Yes.
I think a really good show could be done on our brewery scene in Anchorage. It's gone nuts, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's so many breweries and so much happening with that. And we've got, you can really be a connoisseur. In fact, you almost have to be with all the different taps
yes.
that are out there. So
I have
think
found
that
a few that
a
I
show.
Like, and I just, I'm in a rut now. It's like, I love this beer, so that's what I keep ordering. But I have to have a beer tasting, go to a beer tasting and get some different ideas. Maybe we could have an on-the-air beer tasting, Jeff.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Maybe we could just take the equipment out and do it in a bar.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to read one more email from Matt Ely, who says, the Folk Festival show was great. It would be so cool if you did a show that focused on some of the other music in Anchorage. And that's one of our most popular. We really wanted to.
You did
a
jazz show, right?
Yes.
But it's probably time to do some of those again. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I had the Jazz Fest on, and I had the community music co-op, Anchorage Community Co-op. Anchorage Music Co-op on. And I just love every opportunity that we can do that. I love sharing that.
We should do more. And it's fun having the musicians play in the studio.
Yes. It's super fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just changes it up so much. So I think it's refreshing for the ears, too, to hear music. So I'm going to throw out our numbers one more time, 550-8433 and 1-888-353-5752 outside of Anchorage. I'm going to read some more emails because they're still there. There are many great suggestions coming in. I was just going to throw out some things I was thinking about, like, do people want Anchorage personalities on? I'm not talking about political personalities as much as I'm talking about artistic personalities or music. Well, you know, we want to hear music, but do we want to hear from musicians about the process of creativity? Or, you know, I even thought about, what does it take to be a good ex? What does it take to be a good, nurse? I mean, I those are strange ideas, but I don't know. I just like people that are in our lives every day. I have this image of the best barista I ever had. I used to go there all the time, and she was so good at what she did and so made it such a pleasant experience. Later, we ended up working together. I mean, she's just had a huge career that went on to many other things besides being a barista. Based on that, her ability to connect with you over the counter and make it into something significant. So there's a lot of interactions we have all the time with people in our lives, and, what do we appreciate about that, and what do we wish we saw more of?
Yeah.
So
it's interesting when you try to turn these things into a radio show, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And it seems like you have to have something that the listeners kind of want to engage in on a level where they feel they have something to contribute, or they have questions that they are particular to them that they want to have answered.
Yeah,
I've done shows that I thought, wow, this is going to be really interesting, and it doesn't seem to catch. Maybe because we're just putting out information and we're not doing that interactive mm-hmm. part. And so I'm always looking for shows where there are interactive components that are going to engage the audience. You know, you mentioned nurses. I think there's a really important show to be done on the cost of healthcare in Anchorage.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
which
yeah.
reaches all the way to the underserved population and then also to those of us who have health insurance, but our premiums are going up and up and we don't know why. And we sort of look at the UMed district and see all these new buildings going up. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And there's a ton of individual questions to be asked
yeah.
about that.
That's an excellent suggestion. I know I've been trying to learn about it and I've learned that there are some rules in place in Alaska that make for a certain kind of environment for medical practitioners, because there was a great fear that we wouldn't have doctors here,
right.
you know? So I think that's a great idea. I don't want to try to describe it on mm-hmm. the air now. It needs more work, but I think that'd be a great, we're all business people, individuals, everybody is facing this, the school district, you know, the state government, everybody is impacted by mm-hmm. this. It'd be a great show. Yeah,
yeah.
I like that a lot. So I'm going to read another email.
Go
Does that sound
it.
Good to you? Let's see. I would love to hear you talk about alternative transportation challenges in Anchorage. I often hear commentators talk about Anchorage as a car town. As a year-round bicycle commuter, I would love to talk about the challenges and opportunities for alt trans.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that idea very much.
We do talk about that a bit on Outdoor Explorer in terms of getting around by bike or ski or foot.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a generational and lifestyle change which is taking place. Which is that I hate this phrase, millennials, but young people don't want cars. I mean, they're much
right.
less interested in driving, and it's tough for them to find housing where they don't have to drive. And so transportation relates directly to housing and the need for housing downtown and how that can advance, you know, and how people's preferences can be updated into our housing infrastructure.
Right. No, that's, I ride my bike home on the Chester Creek Trail, and I can tell you it has changed so much since when I began. I mean, I was never lonely out there. I used to see skiers and dog walkers, but now it's a bit of a bicycle highway for commuters
yeah.
going back and forth. And I'm sure there's other trails that are as heavily used. So that's a great idea. And actually, they've made a contribution to Anchorage. The bicyclers have come and they've engaged in the political system and advocated for what they want. It's been democracy in action in
yeah,
a lot of sense.
Yeah, our last mayoral election kind of turned
yes,
on that.
Yes, it really
which
did.
Is surprising.
It was a pivotal
yeah.
moment, a pivotal question that was mm-hmm. really key. So I think that's a great idea. I'm going to welcome one of our callers on. Is that good with you, Charles?
Sounds great.
Okay. So I'd like to welcome, we're going to get a kombucha explanation.
Okay.
Okay. Please enlighten us. Jesse.
Hey, this is Jesse. I actually called earlier, but... you guys started talking about draft stuff again, and I just was really excited about it. So we're trying to do some draft kombucha in town. The name of the company is Zip Kombucha, as in like the local zip code. But it's just a fermented tea. It's actually has a really low alcohol content. So
it does have alcohol.
Yes, but it's below 0.5, so it's not sold as alcohol, so it's not considered an alcoholic beverage. It's more like a near beer. But it does have all those probiotic benefits, and it's very low in sugar, but still maintains some of that caffeine level. So it's a pretty delicious soda alternative. But you guys had mentioned some of the other breweries in town, and just looking at the different options. And
he's moving into beer now, I think.
Well,
go ahead.
But there's a cider place in town called Double Shovel that's going to be opening up here soon, doing hard cider locally, and then. There's another place out in Eagle River called Quake that's doing a Kickstarter right now, and that's kind of why I brought up that whole, I didn't know all these things were going on until I started really digging around and getting out on Facebook, and so it's kind of
that's
nice.
Great. Thanks for sharing some of those, yeah.
In the cider realm, there's also an orchard being planned in Government Hill.
I saw that. Which they just got money from the mayor today.
Oh, did they? I didn't know that, yeah.
The Government Hill Orchard and something, yeah. Uh-huh.
They're going to use that land that was cleared for the... Kinnickarm Bridge, which I think everyone realizes probably won't be built. And it kind of created a big park-like area in the middle of the community. There's a Quonset hut there that could be used as a cider house, and the plan to build an orchard as a community thing. I think it's really interesting. And I in learning about that, I found out that there's a significant sized community of apple growers in Anchorage, which
yes.
goes back many generations. And, mm-hmm. and in fact, the oldest tree that was planted in Anchorage is an apple tree, which is still producing apples.
That's awesome.
And
who knew?
Yeah.
It's a quiet secret of Anchorage. I'm just going to throw out a couple of ideas here that are along the lines of the alt transportation. One was motorized versus non-motorized conflicts. I think you did do a show on that, didn't you?
Yeah, it's kind of a perennial. Yeah. And we've done shows on that topic, but yeah. It's definitely one to keep at.
Yeah. Here's one that we haven't done, quiet rights.
Hmm.
That's an interesting idea.
Define that for us.
Well, I don't have a definition, but I think it has to do with noise and the absence of.
I've got my computer on. I'll find out.
Okay. Charles, do a little research for us. I'd like to welcome Caroline on to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Caroline.
Good afternoon. My thought had to do with finding the history of so many of these things and the concept being, how did we get here from there?
Mm-hmm.
Charles's column in the Daily News, excuse me, the Alaska Dispatch,
yes.
Was interesting. And I thought back to Norway, which has shamed us. They're at almost $1 trillion, having started about 14 years after we had our permanent fund start. And, you know, I know a lot more about that, having worked in the industry in the early 70s, being able to take a course on the introduction to the petroleum industry up in Fairbanks. So, you know, what we knew was key.
Mm-hmm.
We knew what was in the downhole,
mm-hmm.
and we'd never known that. Excuse me. They knew what was the downhole and the size of the reservoir and how it would be developed, yamma yamma.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how they got the money, while we just leased out and we took back sight unseen what was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge one. About the blacks not being able to buy here,
mm-hmm.
the African-Americans who served in our military in World War II were not able to buy housing. The government, over 95% of loans went to white
mm-hmm.
veterans.
Yeah.
And, you know, that less than 5%, that was horrendous because that's, as most people know, that is the bulk of our money.
Yeah,
it's what we have in our in our housing. So anyway, there's so many of these that it'd be really nice to on an occasion, you know, because you couldn't put it all into one show,
mm-hmm.
would be to find out, you know, how did this happen?
Yeah, the story behind.
Yeah, good ideas, Carolyn.
I really
appreciate that call.
That's great. Thank you, Carolyn.
Would be great for it.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
And while we were on that call, I found out what the Alaska Quiet Rights Coalition has a mission of maintaining and restoring natural sounds and natural quiet in Alaska through advocacy, education, and for the benefit of people and wildlife. I think I might steal that as an outdoor explorer topic. So.
You're going to steal it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's still going to happen though, right?
For sure. I think it sounds fascinating.
Yeah. I, the sounds of nature, unless we're quiet, we don't hear them. So.
Well, and it goes along with light pollution. I mean, the two are related. And mm-hmm. light pollution is really sad in Anchorage because we have so much dark sky in the wintertime and the potential to see the Northern Lights and the potential to see the Milky Way and these amazing sights. And we have so much light pollution in Anchorage that it pretty much blots it out.
You have to leave Anchorage to go see it. Yeah.
In fact, if it's cloudy, you don't need a headlamp to ski in Anchorage because there's so much light bouncing off the cloud. So those two might go together well.
Interesting, because they're both environmental. They're mm-hmm. the environmental experience of things that don't bark for your attention. I mean, you know, they're there, and when they're gone, sometimes you don't actually, something's not right, but you don't know exactly what's not right. So
yeah.
That'd be great. Okay, so Charles, we'll make sure that when happens, it goes to Outdoor Explorer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read another email here. These are so local in nature. It's really lovely. This is Renee Brinker, and she's talking about, I want to know more about the clubs around Anchorage and how they enrich our community. And she happens to be in the Log Cabin Quilters, and they do service. And so they have a comfort quilt program where they give over 100 bed-sized quilts each year to charitable organizations throughout Anchorage. And they have a teddy bear tea program. And I guess people who love to quilt but also want to do something for the community.
Similar to Dorothy's service organization
mm-hmm.
idea, which it could be put together
yeah.
maybe for our Thanksgiving show when we talk
mm-hmm.
about sort of gratitude and giving, that would be a good time to do that.
Yes, yes. Let's see. We got another email here. Proposed Merrill Field expansion faces opposition from residents. This is one of those sort of hot topic ones that you're not sure work or not. But this is a suggestion from a caller. And there's a news story right now out about it. I'm not all that up on it, but apparently there's concern from the houses nearby that are really worried about it.
I think we can perform a really important public service because the show reaches people who might not be out to our evening meetings or mm-hmm. might not be reading, you know, government documents. We can bring in the people who are working on these projects that are controversial and just have an open discussion. And as moderators, we can make sure that everyone's civil to each other and that we have a good, informative conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's something I see as a critical part of our show and as of the station as a whole, is to be that place where calm, reasoned discussion can take place about controversial topics. And mm-hmm. so as much as I like all the sort of the lifestyle stories, I mm-hmm. still think those are really important.
Yeah, and this is clearly someone would like this. It's, mm-hmm. it's apparently going to affect areas around Fairview and Sitka Street Park. So that's a really good one. So, and let me see, I'm going to continue on here. I just really want to get our ideas out here. Chugach National Forest has put out its revised Forest Service plan, and it is open to public comment through February 19th. The plan removes 600,000 acres from the Wilderness Study Area in Prince William Sound. Could be a good discussion about who manages and how our public lands are managed. I believe, Charles, you're working on that, right?
Yeah, there's a meeting on that tonight at 6 o'clock, which I believe is at the one of the hotels downtown, Hilton, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's being put on by the Sierra Club, but the Forest Service folks are going to be there, and I'm going to try to be there with a recorder to potentially get some sound for Outdoor Explorer.
Mm-hmm. Great topic. So so let's see. I think we have at least aired whatever has come in. I was thinking about areas I wanted to touch on were
We should give that phone number one
more time. Okay. Yeah. 550-8433 in Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752 statewide, or again, hometowninalaskapublic.org. So I talked about, this is one. I wonder if people would say, yes, I want to hear that or no. I hear people talking, should I go, should I stay? That stay or go issue. Where are people's, you know, as we face this kind of scary economic climate, mm-hmm. Where are people's heads at about that? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've been covering that. We did a show on that. So on the topic of what's happening with the economy more than a year ago. And sort of fiscal gap and in terms of, is it getting into the real estate market? Where is it showing up? And it only seems like it's just beginning to show up. And so
right.
I'm not sure if people are really ready to say. I think people are scared, but I'm not sure people are really making those decisions.
Right.
Yet.
I mean, I've had individual one-on-one conversations with people where business owners who are telling me how they're making adjustments to, they see change coming. They want to be sustainable throughout whatever the economic climate is. So they're making business model changes. I've certainly had heard the discussion, is it time to sell my house? No, it's too late to sell your house. You know, just all those kinds of things. And then I do see people leaving. I mean, I there's sort of a growing number of people saying, we're going to be outside for, you know, we hope to come back, you know, but we, you know, whatever.
But the stats don't really, at least the last time I checked, the stats don't really bear out.
I haven't
out.
Looked at the stats, yeah, so this is just anecdotal.
We've flat or gone up a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what people say. I'm going to welcome James onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, James.
Hi, how's it going?
Just great. How are you?
Good. It's beautiful today. I'm very happy.
Good.
So one of the reasons I'm calling is because I'm a new parent. I'm very excited about that. But, you know, I'm just thinking forward and I'm wondering, what am I going to be able to do with my kid out and about in Alaska, even during the harsher times of the year?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just stuff I don't know. And I'm sure, you know, other people would like to share.
Yeah. I believe you've done some outdoor, you know, how to take your kids outdoors.
Yeah, we did a show on we called it Babies in the Elements. And James, you could actually find that if you go to outdoorexplorer.org or just go to alaskapublic.org and find the Outdoor Explorer show. And I think we replayed that not that long ago. So that's been a focus we've tried to get back to, of taking your kids from babies through teenagers, how to keep teenagers active, all that stuff. It's super important
mm-hmm.
in terms of being enjoying Alaska. I mean, you can't, if you don't go outdoors, you know, I feel like, gosh, Alaska would be pretty depressing,
right,
you know. So,
right.
So it is a great topic, and we've tried to cover it on Outdoor Explorer. But I agree with you. Thanks.
You know, if you send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org, we can send you those links so you can find those
absolutely.
Shows. And you know, the thing about, I want to make sure people know, is our shows are podcasts. So if you miss them, they air again. Hometown Alaska airs at 8 o'clock each day that we're live at 2 to 3 and air again. But then it's on the website, and it's easy for you to download or get it whenever it's convenient for you to listen to it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd like to welcome Pat to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I wanted to maybe introduce the idea of a show about the lack of detox facilities in Anchorage.
Hmm.
Since I know that we only have 14 beds for both Anchorage and Matsu Valley, and that's the same number as there are in Juneau and Fairbanks, even though we have like 10 times the number of residences they do.
Why is it like that?
These days there's close to 1,000 fewer people being medically detoxed than there were even back in 2012.
Oh, I know. And this has been a huge problem for a long time, and there's also a crisis in mental health facilities and mental health services in Anchorage being...
Is it budgetary?
Well, I think it's a complex issue, but I think Pat is raising something that's really important and that people need
sort
to know
crisis,
more about.
Crisis, really. Yeah, a bed tonight.
Well,
yeah.
It's been gone on... The detox issue has gone on for many years, and... We complain about having people with substance abuse problems on the streets, but we don't really offer enough services for them. I mean, would you agree with that, Pat?
Yes, yes. And related to that, I know that on Monday the 15th, there's going to be a town hall meeting at St. Anthony's Church, Catholic Church on Cleven Street. Mayor Berkowitz is going to be there. And Randall Burns is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So and also invite people to come to that meeting if they have concerns about it.
Hmm. Great. Thanks for the information.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you. We took notes. We are taking notes here.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had several calls about alcohol and substance abuse and, you know, what we have been doing for so many decades obviously is not working in the area of drunk driving, in the area of just the detox and so forth. And
right.
And so I feel like there's a discussion that's getting started in the community as to, okay, what can we do now? And
right.
That we don't want to just rely on jail or just ignore people and have them in the street. And so right. I think that's something we could probably do more than one show on.
Right. Another topic like that we've touched on, but still is there is affordable housing in Anchorage. I hear story after story of you know, people can't find a place, or they can't find a place that they really want to live in, or they can't afford it. And I know that's not a new topic. I remember having a Hometown Alaska probably 3 or 5 years ago when the municipality released its first report saying, this is an issue we're going to live with for 20 years. Well, now we're in the middle of it, and it's a mess. And the governor just had a housing summit the other day and, you know, was really pulling people together and trying to say, and they're all people who work in this area. It's like, we need another answer, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a good one, too. And, so much of it is because of Alaska is who it is. It's this population size, this distance from everything. It's not like there's an easy answer we've overlooked. You know, they're naughty problems, but they still need it. They need solutions.
But I think we also have a role in terms of getting people used to the fact that we're in a new era and that people will actually want different kinds of housing than they used to. There's more desire for higher density housing, more urban living than there used to be, but that kind of housing is not being provided, even though not in the low-income area.
Right, right.
Sounds like we're done.
I know. I just Francine, if you want to give us one word for your story idea, throw it out there.
Oh, cheerful. The cheerful, hopeful story about mental health conditions.
All right.
We've got a number of organizations here that are run by peer groups, volunteers, people who have a lived experience of recovery.
Hey, Francine, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and send us an email because I'm going to lose you. So I have to say that next week we're doing success in the Anchorage School District. Not everything is bad budgetary news. Every day we know good things happen. So we're talking about that next week. Pat Yak is our chief content officer. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
I'm Charles Wolford.
Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Home
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.